Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Today we have the latest on health and healing, always from peer-reviewed journals and respected institutions. For example, from the University of Toronto, eating flaxseed may reduce breast cancer death by up to 70%. That's a big deal. Scores of studies reveal that anti-cancer effects occur with flaxseed. Now, I didn't know that. I just read the study, and I use flaxseed every morning, and 2 tablespoons. You're getting some quality protein. You're also getting all the essential oils in there. And researchers from the University of Toronto recently reviewed the literature to answer questions about the compounds found in flaxseed and how effective they are in reducing breast cancer risk and tumor growth, and whether flaxseeds interact beneficially with breast cancer drugs. They reviewed in vitro animal and observational clinical studies and on flaxseed oil and what are called lignans, L-I-G-N-A-N-S. And lignans are a class of phytoestrogens, or better still, plant estrogens, that also act as antioxidants. Now, other foods also contain lignans, including sesame, tahini, of course, sunflower and pumpkin seeds, rye, barley, wheat, oats, broccoli, and beans. But flaxseed has hundreds of times the amount of lignans as any others. So the University of Toronto reviewed documents and showed that this little tiny seed is powerful. It can slow and prevent the growth of breast cancer. Here's what they found. The majority of animal studies show that a diet of 2 to 10% flaxseed with the equivalent of about of lignin and flaxseed oil reduces tumor growth. Diets consisting of 10% flaxseed and the equivalent amount of lignans do not interfere but rather increase the effectiveness of tamoxifen. A diet of 4% flaxseed increases the effectiveness of some other chemotherapies. But just on its own, use flaxseed, and they take 25 grams per day of flaxseed, and 50 milligrams of lignans. Now, 25 grams is just under an ounce. That's not a lot. So I take a tablespoon or more, so you're getting more than your 25 grams, getting about 50 grams. So you decrease your primary breast cancer, you improve mental health of the breast cancer patients, and you lower their death rate. All good. From the University of California at Riverside, America's most widely consumed cooking oil causes genetic changes in your brain. Soybean oil, the most widely produced and consumed edible oil in the United States, which I believe we shouldn't be using, could potentially impact neurological conditions like autism, Alzheimer's, anxiety, and depression. And it's a cheap oil. Now, I'm suggesting use extra virgin first press organic olive oil as your primary oil, but also coconut oil, organic coconut oil, and hazelnut oil, avocado oil, almond oil, walnut oil, cold pressed. And these are all going to be darker colors. Now, we have this fetish about filtering things, and we shouldn't. Because when you look at a bottle of oil and it looks clear, that means all of its essential minerals and healing antioxidants have been filtered out. You don't want that. So always stay away from the palm oils and the canola oil, safflower oil, and of course soybean oil, because they're all highly processed. And researchers found that it affects the hypothalamus. And that, by the way, the hypothalamus is a critical part of the brain that regulates body weight, temperature, stress response, reproduction, and growth. The consumption of soybean oil was found to decrease the levels of oxytocin. By the way, that's also called your love hormone. And that affects about 100 other genes related to brain function and energy metabolism. You don't want that adversely affected. All right? So use the right oils. From University College London and the University of the Republic in Uruguay, regular napping is linked to a longer brain volume, larger brain volume. So you don't have to take a long nap, 15 minutes, maximum a half hour, once a day. It can make a huge difference in slowing the rate at which our brains shrink as we age. And that suggests a new study that we're not napping enough, and we should. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Sleep Health. And it was particularly true for people, let's say, 40 to 70 years of age. So if you have the ability to take a nap, do so. It makes a big difference in keeping your brain healthier longer. And from the University of Rochester Medical Center, yoga improves cancer-related fatigue, lowers inflammation. After a person finishes treatment for cancer, they sometimes will still experience certain health issues. These can include fatigue, cognitive issues, cardiovascular disease, and mental health concerns like anxiety and depression. It is also common for cancer survivors to experience long-term inflammation from both the cancer and its treatment. This inflammation is correlated with an increased risk of cancer reoccurrence. Now, research from the University of Rochester Medical Center shows that yoga can help reduce fatigue and inflammation and improve the overall quality of life for older cancer survivors. And from the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, boosting your gut bacteria can lead to better treatments for bloodstream infections. An upset in the body's natural balance of gut bacteria may lead to life-threatening bloodstream infections that can be reversed by enhancing a specific immune defense response. This was published in Nature Medicine, and it talked about a protein that turns genes on and off and works in partnership with a naturally occurring antibiotic to kill infection-causing fungi called Candida albicans. And these particular fungi, best known as a cause of yeast infections and oral thrush, can be lethal if they overgrow and invade the bloodstream from the gut. So, what do? You make sure that you're getting good bacteria into your body. And good bacteria comes when you're eating healthy foods and fermented foods. That can make a big difference. In fact, there was a Dr. Crook from Alabama, and I had him on my radio show back in 1975 on WMCA. And he talked about candida being far more common than what we had previously known. And he said just go on an anti-yeast, anti-sugar, anti-alcohol diet, and then have fresh juices and aloe vera juice into your diet, and then have fermented foods. And that clears up the candida. But look at the average American's diet. It's loaded with refined carbohydrates. A refined carbohydrate, like, let's say, what you put on the basting powder that adheres to a piece of chicken. So you have fried chicken nuggets. Well, that's pure sugar when the body breaks it down. And that raises your blood sugar, but that's not the issue. It also is very toxic for the body. The sugar in our diet is toxic. We have too much of it. And then alcohol. Alcohol is just pure calories. You get upwards of 8 grams of calories. So the takeaway message is stay away from sugar, refined carbohydrates, and alcohol. When you burn a gram of protein, you get 4 calories. When you burn a gram of carbohydrate, you get 4. When you burn a gram of alcohol, you get anywhere between 8 to 9 calories. So just having a glass of alcohol, you're really loading in empty calories. That's not good. But you're also destroying good bacteria. And that's not good either. So just have a healthy, clean diet. And finally, from the Max Planck Institute for Human Cognition and Brain Sciences, which is in Germany, social contacts can help preserve your brain function later in life. So just social isolation is terrible for our cognitive performance and brain structure. And it heightens the idea that we're a nation that should not be lonely. We should be interacting with people and doing things together. We're social creatures, whether we like it or not. Now, your own predisposition, you may prefer, as I do. I had a farm. I've lived on a farm or a ranch my entire adult life, since 1970, with a Fertler farm. And then I lived in the city concurrently. Why? Because when I'm in the city, just for those of you who have followed my career for longer than a few years, I was busy all day and all night every day. There was a 10-year period where I was lecturing either a health support group or a series of lectures I did called Mastering Life, where I did over 200 lectures, different lectures. And then I would be lecturing out around the New York area. Within 2 hours, I'd drive out, do a lecture, and then could come back every day. So on the weekends, I would go up to the farm. And there was no questions. I wasn't giving energy. I was rebalancing energy. And for everyone, that's why we need blue space, rivers, streams, lake, the ocean. We need green space, nature, flowers, a little garden in our backyard, a community garden. There's a beautiful community garden in Riverside Park, inside the park on the little palisade they have there. And I just saw it when I was up there 2 weeks ago. Each morning when I would go for a run, and it was wonderful. The people just come in and they volunteer and they plant things, and it's been that way for decades. And everybody appreciates it, the smells, and at least when it's in season. We should spend more time gardening. We should spend more time in nature. That relaxes us, de-stresses us, energizes us. And hence, having that balance of time alone. Now, when you do all the writing I do and all the thinking that I have to do the writing and to create ideas and then put them to paper and then share them over the radio as I do or in lectures, you have to do that alone. You know, you want total quiet. I sit here with my McCall, sweetie, on my shoulder, Blue and Gold McCall, and she just sits and grooms herself for hours while I'm writing away. And that's that peaceful, quiet space. Well, a lot of people don't give themselves that peaceful space in a day. They're busy all day long. And especially the family member, you know, the person that's responsible for taking care of the family. You could only imagine the stress that a single parent is under, working one or two jobs, taking care of kids, taking care of a household, buying the food, making the dinner, cleaning the house, taking care of the kids' needs, helping them with homework. My goodness, you know, it's a formidable task, and that's why I believe we should all be thankful for the lives we have, but also thankful for what we can do to help other people. And I believe that we should start having, even by Zoom and by telephone, conference calls and Skype, we should start having older people who feel isolated and are depressed. That's going to cause a shorter lifespan. Bring them together. Common themes. Work on projects together. That'll enhance cognition. It eliminates social isolation. It eliminates loneliness, depression, and anxiety. It'll be good. It'll be good for society. It's good for the person. Now, there are cultures where this is automatic. The Latino culture, absolutely. The Italian culture, the Irish culture. There's a lot of cultures throughout the world, and especially in the South, in Africa, in India, Malaysia. Family is everything. Family values, the older you get, the more important you become to your family. But there are other cultures where that's not true. And America has a mixture of cultures. And we have a lot of loneliness. And we have a lot of early dementia that could be prevented. Absolutely could be prevented. Keep our brains more active. Keep relevant. So let's take an honest look at social isolation and brain structure and cognitive performance. And when we do, we think, wow, we need to be around other people, at least some of the time. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break because we have something very important to share with you that I'll bet thus far you don't know about, but it's going to give you a different perspective. And remember, I do a classroom on the air, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these. Go to Gary Noll YouTube, Rumble, or Odyssey, and also my latest article, which I hope you're sharing with people. Just go to GaryNoll.com. And I have another article coming up in 2 days to share with you, another essay. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Little Horse Today did a lot of lecturing late last night. I do a lot of lectures around the United States, around the world. But also those of you who tuned in last night for the Progressive Commentary Hour at 7 o'clock did not hear it. That was simply because of a technical glitch. I had to do a lot of work last night, including speaking with people in my new documentary. Yes, I want a new documentary. Started on Monday, and it'll take me 6 months to finish it. The current one is wrapping up today and will be ready for a director's cut final presentation by webinar. I'll announce that tomorrow, what date that will be. I also have two more webinars coming up right behind it. I won't do it over the 4th of July week, but before and after I will. In any case, I pre-recorded the program, and it was simply the file that it was put into had a glitch in it, and it put it on at 6 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock, and another program that normally wouldn't have been on was on. So all you have to do is go to GaryNoll.com and download it. But also, here are some numbers. These are the archives. So you're driving anywhere, or you're at your laptop, you want to call and download last night's show. It's a powerful show. Call 631-359-9463. Of course, you can also listen live by calling 605-562-5119. 605-562-5119. What we're going to do now for the next two clips is show you the truth of who is behind so much of the indoctrinating principles we have in our society. And what you're going to hear is you're going to hear a BlackRock, remember I played BlackRock's founder and owner yesterday saying we have to control people and control situations, control everything, and in our company, if people don't show that they're controlling the environment they're in, it'll affect their income. Well, it's a smart business plan when you think of it. You got to give credit to him because what he's done is this. There was a time up through the 1970s, a little later actually, where if you were an outside investor, you had money, you would invest in a corporation based upon its likely growth, not only in the short term, but long term. You consider such things as if they have a bad year, will the government come in and subsidize their losses? So socialism, if you are on the downside, but they get to keep all the profits, give none of it to the government or the people. On the upside, except for their shareholders. Well, that's like a perfect deal. You can't lose. Make bad decisions, you're subsidized, you're bailed out. And we saw that in 2008, where all of the banks and corporations like General Motors, General Electric, AIE, the insurance giant, they all had bad choices, bad management. They were all bailed out, made whole. In fact, they got so much money on quantitative easing, upwards of $85 billion a month, they were able to buy out their competition, even became bigger and even more inefficient. But then came the idea of, why put all your money into one or two or three corporations? Why not simply buy enough 3, 5, 7% in every corporation so that you have some control, you have someone on their board of directors, and that way you own all the competition, you own all the pharmaceutical industry, you own all the media, you own all the military contractors, you own all the building supply company, you own all the agricultural giants. Not that you have 100%, you may even have 5%, but that 5% is more than anyone else has. So that's what they've done, a smart move, if you believe in what they do, controlling a market. And as we've already heard in their own voice, that's much of their intent. Now, there's nothing illegal about that, and I have not criticized the person personally because I don't do that, and I don't know him, but it's impacting all of us because they're also promoting the woke agenda in all corporate America. So what we're going to do now, you're going to see something that you have not seen, and you can go to PRN.live, scroll down to archives, scroll down to Gary Nall, today's show, and you can watch this. Now, it's going to be a little difficult to understand because there's a lot of background. This was surreptitiously filmed of a BlackRock top recruiter who, quote, in his words, decides people's fate, quote, war is good for business. You bet it is. So this is not a smoking gun. This takes you behind the scenes to show you the intent. Listen to this surreptitious interview, because they're never going to say this on in public. I'll bet within an hour of that coming out late last night that that person was reprimanded or fired because he told the truth. Now we get to see, and this should immediately go into a subcommittee in the House and bring all these people, including this person, in under oath, because we need to break up. It's a monopoly. BlackRock should be broken up as a trust. They have too much power. Vanguard, which is almost the same size, Fidelity, Berkshire Hathaway, and State Street. They should all be broken up. Here's the interview, and I'll come back and recite some of it in case you couldn't understand it all.
They don't want people to talk about them. They don't want to be anywhere on the radar.
Why not?
I don't know, but I suspect it's probably because it's easier to do things when people aren't thinking about it.
All of these financial institutions, they buy politicians. You can take this big ton of money, and then you can start to buy people.
I work for a company called BlackRock.
Meet Serge Varley, a recruiter at BlackRock.
Let me tell you, it's not through who's the president. It's who's controlling the wallet. So it's the,
and who's that?
The hedge funds, BlackRock, the banks. These guys run the campaign financing. Yep, you can buy your candidates. And obviously we have the system in place. First there's the senators. And these guys are cheap. You got $10,000, you can buy a senator. I can give you $500K right now. No questions asked.
Yeah.
I did the duty. So we're done.
Does everybody do that? Does BlackRock do that?
Everybody. It doesn't matter who wins.
You're so right.
They're my pocket at this point.
Here's Serge Varley on how good war is for BlackRock's business.
Do you have any thoughts on the Ukraine-Russia war?
Yeah, I mean, I do have thoughts.
What are they?
Ukraine is good for business. You know, right? I'll give an example. Russia blows up Ukraine's grain silos. Price of wheat is going to go mad up. The Ukrainian economy is tied very largely to the wheat market, global wheat market. Mm-hmm. Prices of bread, literally everything goes up and down. This is fantastic if you're trading. Volatility creates opportunity to make profit. War is real f***ing good for business. It's exciting when shit goes wrong, right?
BlackRock manages $20 trillion. It's incomprehensible numbers.
BlackRock Serge Varley says all of this is above a normal person's understanding.
You're like an undercover reporter. I don't know if normal people don't give a shit. This is beyond them.
the whole thing of like domination from a concept, it's so interesting.
Hi, I'm James O'Keefe with OMG News. Here we are with our latest story, this time on BlackRock, one of the world's leading asset and investment managers, which owns significant shares of companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Anheuser-Busch, Meta, Target, Procter & Gamble, Comcast, CNN, Fox, and yes, Pfizer, just to name a few. At OMG, we do not shy away from exposing powerful companies, and we're not afraid of powerful people. So we decided to take a look for ourselves at the influence BlackRock has on our politics and the influence they have on our culture. So to do that, what better place to start a hidden camera investigation than into a self-described gatekeeper at BlackRock?
Like, you're kind of like a f***ing gatekeeper at BlackRock.
Yeah, I am. I decide people's fates. Every f***ing day, I literally decide how somebody's life is going to be shaped.
That's so powerful. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know, the whole thing of, like, domination from a concept, it's so interesting.
Introducing Serge Varley, whose LinkedIn says he's worked for Morgan Stanley, Citadel, and now as a recruiter at BlackRock.
I work for a company called BlackRock. I'm not actually a finance guy. I know what happens because I'm recruiting people who do these things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the person who headhunts people to my other firms. So I would approach him and be like, hey, this is a good reason why you should come work for us.
Serge tells us who really runs the world, how they do it, and just how much it costs to buy people. Like politicians.
Let me tell you, it's not through who's the president. It's who's controlling the wallet.
And who's that?
The hedge funds, BlackRock, the banks. These guys run campaign financing. Yep, you can buy your candidates.
All of these financial institutions, they buy politicians.
How do they run the world?
You acquire stuff. You diversify, you acquire, you keep acquiring, you spend whatever you make in acquiring more. And at a certain point, your risk level is super low. Like, imagine you've invested in, 10 different industries, from food to drinks to, like, technology, right? One of them fails, it doesn't matter. You have 9 others to pick you up. Risk management is inherently in just about everything. And in the finance space, it's all about the money you make. You don't let it sit. Yeah, like, you keep using it over and over and
reinvest.
Yeah, and it exponential growth.
And then once you just own a little bit of everything, is that where the control?
Yeah, you own a little bit of everything, and that little bit of everything gives you so much money on a yearly basis that you can take this big ton of money. And then you can start to buy people.
And obviously, we have this system in place. First, there's the senators. And these guys are f***ing cheap. You got 10 grand, you can buy a senator. It doesn't matter who wins.
You're still gonna...
They're in my pocket at this point. I can give you 500K right now. No questions asked.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what needs to be done. They're like, yeah, of course. And why not?
Does, like, everybody do that? Does BlackRock do that?
The BlackRock recruiter also tells us about how the U.S. government relies on BlackRock for their economic simulation computational power.
Economic simulation. They need to understand the impact of something, right? They're going to, like, raise the interest rate, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to create this cascade of various factors that they're not sure what it's going to do, basically.
And just how f***ing great the Ukraine war is for business.
Do you have any thoughts on the Ukraine-Russia war?
Ukraine is good for business. You know, right? We don't want the conflict to end.
Why?
We don't want the conflict to end as a country. The longer this goes on, the weaker Russia is. I'll give an example. Russia blows up Ukraine's grain silos. Price of wheat's gonna go mad up. So what are you gonna do if you're a trading firm? The moment that news hits, within a millisecond, you're gonna pump trades into whoever the wheat suppliers are, into their stocks. Within an hour or two, that stock goes up, and then you sell, and you just made, I don't know, however many mil.
Why would a news channel promote aside and more?
Because it's also good for business. I mean, what's news? News, right? What does news feed on? They feed on strategy, they feed on up events. That's what people like to watch. So when it happens, it's good business. More viewers. When nothing's happening, watches news. I don't watch news.
They're all pushing like the same talking point. Like, you generally, when you look at news, like,
it's propaganda. The Ukrainian economy is tied very largely to the wheat market, global wheat market. This is fantastic if you're trading.
Okay. I realize it was difficult to hear some of what he was saying, but I'm going to quote him verbatim. When asked about doing things in secret, he said, I don't know, but I suspect it's probably because it's easier to do things when people aren't thinking about it. And, well, of course, that's correct. But then, and again, this was being, all these financial institutions, they buy politicians. You can take this big effing ton of money, and then you can start to buy people. Okay, being honest about it, we've known that for a long time. I work for a company called BlackRock, and then James O'Keefe comes on and talks about that. Let me tell you, it's not who the president is, it's who's controlling the wallet of the president. All right, that's a very important admission. We've known that for a long time, because most presidents are pretty much figureheads. The actual detailed work is done by others. And he says the others are the hedge funds, BlackRock, the banks, a campaign financing. Yeah, you can buy your candidates. How many times have you heard me say you're first selected before you're elected? And I did a six-hour special on how Bill Clinton, this goes back when Clinton was Arkansas governor, I broadcast this. I was the only one in the country to do this. I sent a retired Army intelligence officer, head of special operations. I paid him and went down there. My goodness, every day he was calling me, saying, Gary, you won't believe all these drugs are coming into me in Arkansas, and rifles are going back out. They're just changing the tags on the planes. And but we found out that it was a very famous woman who was married to a very famous politician, who had selected Bill Clinton. And once he was selected, no matter what he did wrong, and he did a lot wrong, he was still going to get elected. Now, quote, obviously we have the system in place. Ah, you mean he's saying we got the system in place. I mean, they control it. First there's the senators. These guys are effing cheap. You got 10 grand, you can buy a senator. Okay. Then he says this, I could give you $500,000 right now, no questions asked. Are you going to do what needs to be done? All right. So could we assume then that once legislators are lobbied by the thousands upon thousands of consultants and lobbyists in Washington, and they put money into the reelection campaigns and try to protect their image, that you can't get an investigation? How do we know this? Simple. Look at one of the most notorious crimes against humanity. When the CDC's own scientists discovered that the MMR vaccine was causing autism at a 350% increase in African-American young children, males, that was never allowed to be released. And a lot of money poured into that company that made it, and then the head of the CDC went to work for the very same company, millions of dollars. So why wasn't Posey, legislator from Florida, who got all this information, got the actual tapes, got thousands of documents, why wasn't he able to hold a congressional hearing? Because those in power didn't want that hearing to be held. It would embarrass a lot of people. It would show that the CDC is a criminal organization and is controlled by Big Pharma. So that's how much, you know, that's what power in Washington is about. And you got all these people with unlimited amounts of money buying people. So just so you know, left and right, they're for sale. Does everyone like BlackRock do it? Quote, everyone does it. Well, that's implicating. It doesn't matter who wins. They're in my pocket at this point. Wow. So whether it's Democrat or Republican, the people behind the scenes control the deep state. And they control everything. Single major corporation and news media supported Hillary Clinton. All governmental agencies supported her because they could control her. The Clintons, the Obamas, completely pliable. George Bush, completely pliable. Donald Trump, they couldn't control him. All right, that's why he had to be destroyed. Then it goes on to say the following. Let's just see here. Do you have any thoughts about Ukraine-Russian war? Yeah, I mean, I have a thought. What are they? Ukraine is good for business. You know that, right? I'll give you an example. Russia blows up Ukraine's grain silos. The price of wheat's going to go mad up. The Ukrainian economy is tied very largely to the wheat market, global wheat market. Prices of bread, you know, literally everything goes up and down. This is fantastic if you're trading. Volatility creates opportunity to make profit. War is real effing good for business. It's exciting when S goes bad. BlackRock manages $20 trillion. It's incomprehensible numbers. Let me break it down for a moment because you might not be aware of this. You may think, well, gee whiz, that's not good. We shouldn't have any single person who sits on the World Economic Forum Board and the Council on Foreign Relations Board having that much power. I would agree with that. But then you have to say, what role do you play in that? You say, none. Well, where do you get your pensions? Well, my pensions are controlled by someone, I don't know who, and we get a certain return every month, and that's good. That's where the BlackRocks and the Vanguards, others get their money. They make deals, sweetheart deals, with governmental agencies and state agencies, and they take over these trillions of dollars, estimated $15 trillion in retirement funds alone, and they manage them. They don't own them. They manage them. They're getting a fee for that. I'm guessing on hundreds of billions of dollars, even if it's only 1%. So then they use your hard-earned savings to buy stocks in corporations, but they buy all the corporation stock. So it doesn't matter. If NBC decides to tell the truth, don't hold your breath on that, and the New York Times decides to tell the truth, no. They own all the major news media, radio, television, and they control it. All right? So they're always controlling the outcome because they control the narrative. Whoever controls the media controls the narrative. So he says, quote, you're like an undercover reporter because she's asking pointed questions. Normal people don't give an A, S. Okay? So I'm just giving you some of what he is saying. I think you've heard enough to realize that this is really important. So it's all about domination. So that's what it's about. One company, one human being, having more power than anyone else on the planet. There's no president, there's no Saudi Arabian king, there's no one who has the power of this one man. And we've done more to expose who he is and what he's about and his philosophy and how he does business than anyone else. But this is giving you an insider's look. Now, of course, they control PR firms. They'll spin this. You'll probably see that this guy will say, I was just bragging. None of this is true. And this is what happens with each one of these gotcha films. But now we're going to go to something equally important, in my opinion. And what we're going to share with you now is a Jimmy Dore clip. And in this Jimmy Dore clip, they're talking back to Dr. Hotez, and we have sent a formal invitation to come on this program and to debate me. Now, he could use the argument, well, I can't debate Robert Kennedy because he's not a scientist, not an investigative journalist. He's a lawyer. He makes money, you know, suing companies. Okay. Well, I am a scientist, publishing peer-reviewed literature, clinical studies of a very important nature and outcome. And I'm also a multi-award-winning investigative journalist, more investigative reports than any other journalist in American history. So I will match you on the outcome of my results with yours. So you'll be treated with respect, but you're not dealing with a chump. So come on this program. We sent him an invitation. Hopefully he will. But it tends to be that these braggarts don't want to actually put the debate out there. So here is a Jimmy Dore, but he is going to read a email or Twitter from Eric Weinstein. Eric Weinstein's an extraordinarily intelligent person, and he is intervening here. So let's go to the clip, and you'll see how the two tie together, because who pays for all the pharmaceutical research this guy's doing? Who sees which journals, and how does he get on virtually every single media and only give us one side, once the pro-vaccine side, and then condemns anyone who suggests alternative treatments? Now, it's shown that he's been wrong about everything, and we've been right about every single thing, and yet even people listening to Pacifica, some of them can't seem to understand and what kind of cognitive crisis they're in. They don't want to accept the truth because it doesn't align with their ideology. So that's unfortunate. Here's the truth. Listen up, please.
So I want to show you one more thing about this Hotez guy. And he was dodging debating RFK Jr. about vaccines because he's wrong and he's a liar and he's corrupt, right? And he's a criminal. He should be in jail. So he tweeted this out. Let's remember what this is about. Not a small number of Americans lost their lives from anti-vaccine disinformation during the pandemic. 200,000 Americans perished, 40,000 from my state of Texas. I had nothing personal, blah, blah, blah. He says, not easy to respond when those three gang up in a tag team. So he's this guy who's worth $35 million, who has access to every big pharma-funded news show at the drop of a hat, is pretending he's being bullied because people are asking him to back up his slander of Joe Rogan and RFK Jr. They're just asking him to back it up. And he's saying that he's saying they're ganging. Not easy. Not easy to respond. What? Why is it hard to respond? Are they holding your arms down? How are they making it hard for you to respond? First of all, it's just Joe Rogan. What?
Hard to respond? You're on Twitter.
What
are you doing, a live show?
Right?
You got all day to think of something. You're a doctor who invented a vaccine.
I wish I could be more eloquent and clever when the moment demands, but there you are.
Take the whole day, buddy.
Take the whole day.
And come up with a response.
Yeah,
written.
We're not asking you to do a show. We're not asking you to tap dance in front of us. We're asking you to explain vaccines to us. So Eric Weinstein, he lowered the hammer on him. So Eric Weinstein, who might be the smartest guy in the world, probably. I can't even understand what he said on Joe Rogan. I couldn't understand what he was saying. He's
once
so
you get
smart.
To a certain level of smart, it's like...
And by the way, super well-respected smart guy, right? Like the highest echelon... The highest echelon of smart guy you could get. That's who this guy is, all right?
Maverick smart guy.
Yeah. So he says, Doctor, may I give a different perspective? Many Americans learned about how far off their concept of science was from COVID. They thought that science was something they could trust. They trusted their vaccines, their FDA, and the CDC. Quite honestly, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, friend of the show, said to me, I was at Stanford for 35 years as a researcher, and I didn't know how any of this really worked. He means how money influenced science research and medicine and big pharma and drugs. That's what he means. Fauci, Collins, and Dzak didn't just break trust with lay people. They showed even successful researchers that there's a secret world inside science, and it's run by money. And almost all of us were left guessing. We knew we couldn't make informed decisions for our families because public health was taking away our ability to understand what was going on. They were lying. And they were forcing their lies into our families, into our Wikipedia pages, into our bloodstream, into our lungs and across our blood-brain barrier, into our dinners, into our funerals, into our colleges and universities. And we want the lies gone. We want to know what was done to us, to our children, our shuttered businesses, and our broken marriages, etc. It's quite consequential. We were abandoned by journalism, cut off from science, and blinded by public health. There is no other way to say it. Here is what public health did. The disease threat was real, but seemed exaggerated, particularly for young, healthy people. It was 100% exaggerated, and now even Bill Gates will say, after he cashed in his stock for the vaccine, he says that the vaccines weren't very good, that they didn't stop infections, they weren't long-lasting, and we need something new. That's what Bill Gates says now. And he said that the virus had a low fatality rate.
Which is surprising for something made in a Chinese lab.
It's surprising. The vaccine benefits were wildly exaggerated. Any interest in vaccine alternatives was ridiculed. Any attempt to find the origin was demonized as racism.
Wow, it's almost like a lot of times, quite the counterintuitive though it may be, capitalism touches things and turns them into shit. That's weird.
And lastly, Kurt, and most importantly, any concern about the vaccine risks were made into a mental disease. So if you had any concerns about warp speed on a vaccine, they said you were a mental defective.
Well, Dr. Hotez says I'm anti-Semitic.
Yes.
and a terrorist.
And that was evil that they did that. Yeah. And I felt that evil. And that evil was thrown at me by people who've known me all my life. So we all get it now. There's an enormous unbroken juggernaut from the NIH to YouTube to DODTRA, I don't know what that is, to the US FDA, to Stanford, to the New York Times, to Google, to the Lancet, to Facebook, etc. He's talking about the billionaire-controlled world we live in and how they're all connected.
You think Mark Cuban's connected to this garbage?
You think?
Drugcost.com?
Right. That calls itself, confusingly, the science, that it's simply about destroying those who dare question it.
Elon made Twitter better. He's not a he wasn't my hero.
This is way better than it used to be.
Oh, well, he's not a free speech hero. I just need this, man.
This is so worth it. This is worth anything bad he does going forward.
This is one of the greatest things that I've ever seen on Twitter.
He says, and what you're seeing is not a gang up on you. It's not right wing. It's not neo-fascism. It's a revolution against modern state-directed mind control. It's Science Gate. We don't know how much anti-scientific quackery was dressed up as the science because the science doesn't engage science.
Oh, are you a scientist? Yes, he is a scientist.
So everyone wants to see what it looks like when these competing claims actually engage each other. Now you have every right not to debate this out if it's a gotcha, if the forum is slanted, if the refereeing isn't fair, if the opponent is unethical, etc. But I don't see that.
Well, people who don't watch Joe Rogan and just choose to believe the construct about it, they imagine it, so they imagine don't have to see it.
So that is my offer to you. I know Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Joe Rogan, and they are both men who change their minds when their arguments are tutored by new information. I will do any reasonable thing you ask to make sure it is a scientific exchange that isn't scored on debating technique.
Oh, maybe if Mehdi Hasan moderated?
Yeah.
I think we could trust it.
But you can't duck out claiming this is a gang up. Okay. I have never said anything against you in my life, and I will be happy to work with you behind the scenes to make sure that science wins. What do you need to make sure science prevails? Constructively, expert fact-checking, etc. That said, something like this has to happen. We all are demanding an end to the science, destroying science. Nobody wants to be lectured by Rachel Maddow on the science while their trusted physician is threatened for simply trying to figure out what science indicates is best.
Powerful, isn't it? We want to thank Eric Weinstein for twittering that out to Hotez. And I believe Hotez is, I could be wrong, but I believe that he is fearful of debating because new information has come up about how much money he received in the University of North Carolina work he was doing, or Baylor College he was doing, and then sharing that with the Wuhan lab. It was gain-of-function research. We got the application. I read it to you yesterday. So that would really put him in a pickle because then he could be brought in and testifies under oath, not a very good television interview, soft-pedaled. And by the way, once again, tie in BlackRock, tie in all these other lobbyists, tie in all these other corporate interests. Why is it that not a single one of the mainstream journalists has told us the truth about anything on any issue that's important to us? They've lied about everything, and they don't allow the people with the truth on. I like your thoughts. 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear you give a call now. Should we try to ask our legislators? We don't know who specifically among them was given money by lobbyists. But then we have to track back the lobbyists to the corporate interests and from the corporate interests to who controls the board. And then we start getting behind the curtain. And then it's all bad. Well, you're thinking about calling in. I hope you do. I'm going to be doing two new documentaries starting this week. But I'm also interested in what would you like to see in a documentary? What kind of documentary? On what topic? Think about it. I'm selecting two topics. I won't mention the topics now. But if you have an idea and you'd like to see that idea become a part of a documentary, simply send your idea to PRN at PRN Studio, prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com. I'd like to hear your interest, all right, because I'm dealing with two powerful topics right now, and I'll be announcing shortly when the webinar with the director's cut will be done. And then I'm having a webinar the week after with a whole panel of experts. I'm not going to do these nine-hour webinars anymore. I'm going to do shorter, like 3 hours. You know, but that's coming real short. As soon as I get the final cut today and the trailer, then I'll announce it. 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear from you. Now I'm going to give you a little special until we get calls in. This is called the Green, a Power Green Special, and it's really unique. First of all, you're getting green stuff, the Healing Foods Cookbook, and Power Chefs. Let me go through it in detail, because you've got a big savings here. You're saving $137.97. You're only spending $130. It's over 50% discount. First off, I would like anyone else that's using any green formula to see how it compares to mine. First of all, is it organic? Mine is. The highest quality produce. But more importantly, let them tell you what the background, scientific background, the nutritional biochemistry background of the person formulating it is. Is it just a chemist looking at other people's brands and trying to, you know, call together something and call it a green product? My proprietary blend is organic barley grass, organic wheatgrass, organic chlorella, organic spirulina. Right there you have four of the most powerful greens that you could put into your body. Don't take my word for it. Google organic spirulina health benefits, and you'll see all the studies on what spirulina by itself does, but it's and also with wheatgrass. And why don't you Google organic wheatgrass health benefits, and see what it says. You'll see a ton of information. But I also have organic carrots, organic spinach, organic apple fiber, organic kale, organic parsley, organic onions, organic Brussels sprouts, organic sweet potatoes, organic pumpkins, organic kelp, organic bell peppers, organic collard greens, organic cauliflower, organic cabbage, organic broccoli, and a whole lot of probiotics, lactospore, the finest there is. So, you're getting all these probiotics. You're getting also protein. And it's all in here. You're getting 7 grams of fiber, but those are really not why you take this. You take it because this is the greatest blend of organics synergy coming together in one place, because you're never going to eat all this in a day. One scoop of this in the morning and one scoop in the early evening, you've just potentized your body. So that's the core of it. And I take this every day. But then you're going to get a book that took me a long time to write. Had to create all these gourmet vegan recipes. I had to then get all the best ingredients, the shakes, the juices, the main meals, the soups, the salads. Then I put in here protocols. Why did I put in protocols? Because a lot of people can have a overview protocol. This is what these are, that they're very beneficial for all the major diseases, most of the major diseases. We all know, or should, that eating right is one of the most important things we can do for our health. But while everyone wants to live a longer life, and everybody wants to be healthier, very few, about 5 to 7% of the American population, actually change their diet and lifestyle to do that. So what I've done is I put together a 5-DVD set, and that goes into restaurants. I go around kitchens, restaurants around the United States, wherever there was a famous chef that was dealing with either raw foods at Quintessence, to teach the importance of eating raw, vibrant, living foods. Steve Wu over at Zen Palate on how to do quick vegan Chinese dishes. I went and filmed Tommy Arcani at Cafe Viva, show you how to make a healthy vegan pizza. Vincino Pinate in San Francisco. I flew out to San Francisco to go to the leading raw food restaurants. It was called Cafe Gratitude. I filmed Cliff Prefer from Sacred Chow, teaches how to eat right and can help us improve our health. Mia Ronstadt and others. So they're all here. Over 75 separate recipes that are done by some of America's greatest chefs. It's 10 hours of DVDs. So you talk about a package. This is a power package. So all you have to do is make a call, and you can get this whole power pack. You get the cookbook with all the photographs and all the original recipes. Just call 877-627-5065. Or go online at GaryNull.com, 877-627-5065. Or you can call Neil in the Vitamin Closet or go visit him Monday through Saturday, noon to 8. He's down at our corporate headquarters, 35 West 35th Street, 12th floor. And his number is 646-926-5430. All right? Now let's see if we have any callers.
Nope.
No callers. Okay, well, that's fine. At least you have a lot of information you didn't have. You have insights that you didn't have, which can alter your perception. So for those who unfortunately were believing, and I don't blame them for believing authority figures, but it's very common to trust the authorities. You trusted the wrong authorities. You trusted the wrong science. You trusted the wrong corporate interests. Because where does all this lead to us? Who makes the money off COVID? The pharmaceutical industry, the test kit industry, they make the money, and they control the government, and they're controlled by the special groups. So you see, they win. No matter which company makes the most money, they own all the companies or interest in all the companies, so they profit. They can't lose. We can. And now you're beginning to put the pieces together to show you how maniacal this is. Thank you all for listening. And by the way, go to GaryNull.com, go to PRN.live to download last night's Progressive Commentary Hour. Have a nice day, everyone, and stay tuned for Utrecht's Lead.